company is the Hebrew word Saba, and it's feminine in gender. It means a mass of women organized for warfare, like an army. Okay? It's very likely that in this last day, the Lord will give the word, great was the mass of women organized for warfare that published it. I believe again that a lot of what God has done in this congregation is going to model a lot of what he'll do outside. Because God is trying to restore what has been lost. Okay? Bible says clearly in Acts chapter 2, also Joel 2, it says, in the last period, I'll pour my spirit on my sons and daughters. Yes? You say sons and daughters. He say your sons and daughters will prophesy. There's no question about it. He doesn't seem to say your men servants are men servants. Then how come he ended up that only the men ended up doing everything? 2,000 years have passed. The women have been left behind. Terrible. I'm not saying this to women. How dare they do this to you? No, I'm saying the church and the world has suffered greatly. Terrible loss has been suffered because the women were left out. Not for to their pride. Everyone has suffered for it. Everyone has suffered for it. You just saw that women were the ones supporting Jesus. What kind of thing is that? How is it women supporting Jesus, meeting their needs? It's, but you just read it. You just heard Paul say that she has been the benefactor of many people, including, he said, treat her. Receive her in the Lord. A deacon, diaconos. They served with the overseers. That's what Phoebe was. How can this same Paul? Do you know the qualification for a deacon? Oh, don't make me read it. What is one of them? Teaching. I don't know to make me read the Bible. Verse 8, 1 Timothy. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Verse 12. Let me read 11 at once. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. You presume it's just women. No. Even women deacons. Are you listening to me? 12. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his house, his children. But of course, a deacon mustn't have it. Again, excuse me. You do know that most of the apostles did not marry. So you can't presume, even when he says an overseer and this, and these people were overseers and all these things, it doesn't mean they're married. It's Paul writing this thing, and he was not with wife. He was not married. So is he disqualified from being a leader because he's not married? No. So that woman could be married or unmarried. You may have a spouse or you may not. It says, a deacon must be faithful, must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. Let me just give you that. When you serve well, you gain an excellent standing. Very important. That's why you should serve well. This, I'm just saying this to everyone. That's verse 13. 1 Timothy 3, verse 13. And also, great assurance in your faith. That is, you're greatly assured. Your assurance in the faith is established by your ability to serve well. So I'm just telling us, please serve well, male, female, serve well, serve well, serve well. It will give you assurance before Jesus too. It will give you an assurance. There's something you feel about God being pleased with you. Okay? Oh yeah, ask the next question.
S- Sir, there are people who are of the notion that it is okay for women to teach in congregations, but it is not okay for them to start up a ministry, that in doing this, they are overriding the authority of the man. What response do you give?
Which man?
The husband.
Who said she has a husband? What's all this presumption?
Or any man in life.
She's overriding the man, the keke man that dropped off. I don't understand. Why doesn't that man face his side now? Which man? You man, they didn't call you. They may likely call you. Didn't call. All right, so I've shared many times the story of Maria Woodward Etta. Maria Woodward Etta was a woman of God, 18-something over into 19-something. She was so anointed that she would have meetings at times, the anointing, like us meeting here. People would be falling down 15 miles. Someone wants to check the map over here. 15 or so kilometers from here. A radius around. That means all of you know you. All sides here. Down, all around. People will be falling under the power of God. You know, like we are here now. And then we are here, the presence of God. Maybe she starts praying. Father God, I ask for healing. People will be getting healed in their houses. Falling under the same way someone can fall under anointing. They're falling under anointing in their houses. She was a woman. I haven't even heard anyone with that kind of manifestation before. She was so anointed. She was something else. But why am I mentioning her? There have been other anointed women. This particular woman had a husband and was a woman and would teach Bible at home or something. People would come out. She kept having visions of seeing her preaching, and there were many fields. There were many fields, and it seems like grass or something, and it was falling over. To see it like wheat fields, and they were so ripe. And she kept hearing the voice of the Spirit, go out, go out. And she was like, how can I go out? Women don't preach. Even these ones that are gathering, they are coming to my house. But the power of God and grace of God was already on her so much. People were coming to her house. But women can't preach. So she stayed there. I don't know who died first. I've forgotten now. I've said it before. Who died first, husband or children? Children started dying. And died. And died. And died. Later she went. Husband caused trouble. Husband died. One husband was Woodward, the other one was Etta. So she had the two names, Maria Woodward Etta, the surname. But I'm saying that woman was used by God all over the place. And she brought so much. The most terrible diseases were healed. Most horrible things. Can you imagine if that woman died in the kitchen? There are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that were healed of hopeless, utterly hopeless diseases. She would have been here saying, well, God, women, children. You see, if I get impassioned about it, I'm impassioned about it because of this. Because of the amount of pain and loss and tragedy the world and the church has suffered because of sitting women. Sitting down there knowing that her husband is wrong. Knowing that the wife. Do you know there are preachers, you may have read about it in the Final Quest, where it's the wife. The sermons that the man was preaching is the wife that prepared them. She was the anointed. She knew deep truth more than the husband. She will write it. The husband was the one that could preach it. She couldn't. That multiple giftings and anointings just in a container all their life. I'm saying the church has suffered enough and the world has suffered enough. In these last days, God is going to free women. When we are going to pray, No. The eyes of women will open everywhere. A woman needs her husband's permission to do some ministry. A woman may be part of a ministry, but she shouldn't start it. I don't agree. Women have gone to preach in the ends of the earth, have gone to places where no man was willing to go. Should she have left it, define ministry. Is ministry this building we are renting? The woman that carried her bag and traveled to the people of, where is it? Listen, there's a woman. Oh, I want to tell you about when I was talking about shepherds, I forgot. Iran. But we've shared this in the past. Right now, I don't mean yesterday, I mean right now. There's a mighty revival in Iran. Iran, this Islamic Iran. Crazy. We want to kill everybody, Iran. There's a revival happening. People are getting born again in their droves. The Holy Spirit is moving. Radical Iran. They are getting saved in the thousands. And the people behind it are women. Now, women. Thank God they are not listening to nonsense. These are Muslims. This is a pure Islamic society. Women. Unknown women. They don't even want to be known. They are pastors. They are the leaders. It's not one church like this. So when they say revival, no, it's all over quietly. God is moving here and there. It's with women. If you are not careful, they are still covering their thing. Leading people to Christ, baptizing them in the Holy Ghost. Just healing, just doing everything. Women. If they were listening to our nonsense, everybody would be dead. Dying your sin. But God, I keep saying, you know, and that's what I was trying to tell someone once. I said, whatever your argument about, but I think the Bible says, even if you don't understand fully what the Bible says, that's subject to dispute. Because if you say Paul said this, Paul also said this. Forget anything I taught you this morning. What about all the other things he said that seem to support women in ministry? How do you ignore them? So presume you didn't understand it. I'm glad I knew it a long time ago. I had an idea. Women, I want to say this. Whose story did I want to tell? This couple, Elliot and whatever else is his name, the four missionary men who were reaching out to one wild tribe in South America, very wild people. They would fly a small plane. I think they went to Bible college when they left or something. They said they want to be missionaries to those people. Those people didn't know Jesus. Very wild people, very warlike warriors. They kill, they fight with other tribes all the time. They would fly over, give them gifts, all that. Show signs that they want to land, they want to visit them. The people told them, come, come. Acted is fine. As they were coming down from the plane, coming on the bank, they killed all of them. Very wicked people. They killed all of them. Speared them through. But that's not the end of the story. This is a real story. Go and check it out. For someone should find that book. This book should be somewhere. Should have it and read it during the holidays. The wife of one of these men that this wild tribe killed their husband finally carried her kaya one day and walked into that bush. The power of Jesus saved everyone. The one that killed her husband specifically, of course, they heard the story from them, became her son's adoptive father. The person that killed the man, the son of the man he killed, the son adopted him, this wild man. I watched the man on TBN as his father. So when he says, daddy, this is my daddy, this is the person that killed his real father with a spear. But they got born again all over the place. That whole tribe is the wife that brought revival to that place. How? Go and ask God. Is this the same God? So, my question was, this one is what? It's not ministry. She shouldn't start a ministry. What is this she just did? She walked into a jungle, to a jungle people, primitive and crude, that killed her husband and preached the gospel to them. And they repented. Where her husband did not, I'm not saying he failed, he succeeded. But he died instantly. He never even shook hands. They removed him from the earth. You think God looks and says, well, I'm just allowing you, these women in ministry thing. Me, I don't support it. Really? That, and this is the part that offends me. I'm sorry. Look at Mary Slessor. Did she start a ministry? Came to Nigeria. Mother Teresa Anko. Okay, she didn't start. She was just a sister of the group, didn't she? Okay. You really think God cares about that nonsense talk? God Almighty. God doesn't care about any such thing. All this pickiness. Because you're a man. You come. You just start it. You come here and say, people, this ministry we are starting, but I'm going to sit down while my wife talks. Who are you deceiving? The calling is on the woman. Amy Semple McPherson. Or is it, what's her name? Popular. Catherine Kuhlman. Which man? Oh, yeah. She should have. Sid Roth. All those people. Is her. Benny Hinn. She had a huge influence in his life. She should undo it. Because she's a woman. So undo the grace of God in her life. Undo the impact they had. I mean, Semple McPherson is the founder of Foursquare Church. All the men should run out of it. And let me tell you the one that will pay you more. Apostolic Faith Church. Crawford is a woman. What's her first name? Crawford is a woman. If you look now, I'm not even sure they allow women in the leadership. Then what does that mean? Who started the church? A woman started it. She started everything you see. Her ministry, her unction, the books, Bible study, booklets, all sorts of things that they are still using. She starts it. Then you shop and say, women should... You think God is smiling? I don't see how God can be smiling. How can he smile? So he didn't know what he did when he put his spirit on that woman. He didn't know what he was doing. There was no man. There was no man in the world. Are we saying that God could not stir up a man's heart? The Bible tells you about Deborah, the wife of Lapidot. She had a husband. But all Israel went to her to judge matters. I've heard someone say that it's wrong, that shouldn't have happened, that God didn't send her. Oh, yes, I'm serious. They said that it was supposed to be a man job, but she was just doing it because nobody else stepped up to the plate. So that it's just there. That's more or less that. Well, he's not saying that she did evil, but that nobody God sent them. These are sincere people talking. Women in ministry, that women ought not to be. That people refer to that passage. But there ought to have been Barak. But he refused. He was cowardly, was fearful. That's why God gave the glory of the battle to Barak, to her. Because there was a guy called Barak that was to lead the war. And the man said, I won't go if you don't go with me. And God said, okay, because of that, God will give the glory to a woman. I don't know why people get too busy with things beyond their... All I know is that there are four women mentioned in the lineage of Jesus, and it's not a mistake. Claire, people, strangers from other tribes, Rahab, Tamar, Bathsheba, and Ruth. Strange. God doesn't seem to care. This one is a Moabite. Yes. This one was a Canaanite. He doesn't seem to care. Let us love God and allow the details to be worked out by him. Amen.
Sir, you've emphasized that women are pastoral by nature. Does that mean something is wrong with a person if she is not like that? That is, patient and all of that with people when it comes to pastoring. Or could this mean you've got a configuration of a man at the mind level?
Maybe. Did she ask for a computer expert to reconfigure? This question, I think, is for fun. Again, if you're a visitor, I forgive you. If you're old, don't like when someone is preaching. Did I say there are exceptions? Huh? Yeah, you will not hear that one. Your mind will fixate on how you're strange now. You're an odd creature. You don't feel like mama, mama, mama. There are women here that don't like babies, don't like children like that. They are, you know, you don't like, they are not, they don't all gaga, they don't go gaga about babies and children and all that. There are some of you, it seems you can't wait to carry a child. Just hold yourself, please. But how does that make you strange? There are men that are very, you know, gentle with children, far more than their wife self and all that. Please, for everything, there's an exception. I always say that, and I said it today. Be attentive. There's exceptions. There are exceptions. But I am not referring to the norm or to the exception. I'm referring to the norm. There's always the generality. There's what 80-90% do, and there's what 5% or 1% does. You don't go comparing. Okay? Common sense says that. Common sense says that. So we do our best to do what we should do. That girl that does not is not exactly about babies. Say, give me, trying to tear. One is holding the leg, one is holding the hand, pulling. That one that just stands one place and doesn't have time for the child. Does that mean when they have a child, you won't see them go gaga over them? They may. Some just don't have time for anybody else's child. And when they have a child, because by force they must take care of it, then they find out while the baby's in the womb, they start developing feelings. That you don't feel pastoral. You know, I am pastoral, very much so, because I know I'm far more patient with people. There are many servants of God that are not patient with people at all. At all. Even wonderful servants, but they don't have the grace to do it. So it's the grace that matters. There are many male pastors that are far more gentle than and long-suffering than their female counterparts. Okay?
God told Eve that her desire would be for her husband, yet he will dominate over her. Since this was said as a consequence of Eve's disobedience, what then was God's original plan concerning their relationship?
Those that partake in the first in the resurrection, there's neither marriage or giving in marriage. I'm just saying, in case you're planning to know how you manage in the age to come. I think I said what I believe. I said I believe they were two. We read it. Is your real question, how can I achieve that in my own marriage life? The answer is, be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. Work on yourself. Maybe you will have the original plan. But before that, the effects of the fall, are they still around us? Yes, are people still sick? People still dying from old age? It was never God's plan that people should die from old age. You were not supposed to grow old. Never. It's just to keep living. To have a supernatural body. But here you are, aging. Wrinkles are coming. Baldness is setting in. Hairline receding. White hair emerging. Wrinkles increasing. Bones deteriorating. Things are happening to you, bro. Sister, you're aging. Size enlarging, yes. But when you have a new body, we have to wait for the perfect world for that to change, okay? Yeah, I think the original plan was they were just going to move side by side. They'll just be there. Husband and wife, just flowing. But many marriages are almost like that already, don't you know? Huh? Huh? You're not saying anything. There are very many marriages where it's equal. They are just dead together. It's not, they are not, there's nobody that's really ahead, almost. I'm not saying it's even right. I'm saying that there are very many homes like that, where the husband does not have say in his wife's life. You don't know. That he can't come. He doesn't command that here and there. I'm even talking about the willing one. I don't mean the one where it's the woman has oppressed the man. Because there are situations like that where it's bad. It's the woman, she has acted in certain ways, maybe her job or whatever, and has gotten her way and pushed the man into a corner. In fact, in many cases, there are many marriages where the woman dominates the man. You've never seen it. Huh? There are many instances where the woman is dominating the man. They have not even gone to the original thing. They've destroyed it. It's that thing I was reading here, that Gnostic teaching, where the woman is ruling over the man, has commands the man around. I told you there are women that beat their husband physically. Of course, you have to be young for that to happen. You know, people have demons. There's one I heard, you beat him, tell him not to cry, so neighbors will not hear, that it will be too embarrassing. This is real. You beat him, punch him. Beat him, quiet, and tell him, just keep quiet. It's sick. I don't know if she was a wrestler, but once saw a woman, very muscular. She follows men and fills sand, tippers with sand. Okay, imagine her muscles. There's nothing like, I'm a man, she'll finish you. Muscles are not, is it a small thing? Yes, are we done?
What of men who eat fresh soup daily? Isn't it oppressive?
Please go and talk with the man.
Don't Gnostics serve God too, except inexclusively? Can't you convert them?
Go and serve Gnostics. Next question.
Isn't it balanced to have a cooking timetable of both the wife and husband cooking?
When you marry, just let us know who you are. Keep that paper aside so we can track the persons. So the men will run. Men, do you want equal, equal? Who said yes? Who is applying for a husband, a wife? Is it Utebe? That somewhere there, George. You want equal, equal. You cook half, you cook half. Okay, so that person, raise your hand, please. All right, so that's the man for you. So you might find someone approaching you here that. Just take note and keep it. When it's time, if God doesn't say no, we'll marry you, so you'll be fine. So you have a taker, okay? You have someone who's willing to marry, to cook 3.5 days. You cook the other half. Fine, no problem. Huh? You pound the yams, you cook the soup. Isn't that already normal? What do you mean? Listen to me. Listen to me. All of you dreamers. Listen to me. When you marry newly, it's just you and your wife. Many things depend on your level of busyness, availability, and all that. If your husband, for example, is a pastor, and you married, you just married newly, but after church meeting, he stays on for another 2 or 3 hours, and you're going to make pound. Yeah, you're going to keep the yam when he comes back, he pounds it. But Mr. Husbandman, if you're at home with her, you're sitting in the kitchen, gisting outside the kitchen, and she's putting the yam. Is there anything wrong with carrying the mortar and pounding? So don't make noise. So the truth of the matter is this. I don't know. Many of these questions are issues. Again, love should take care of many of these things. I've said that usually the challenge is your cultural. I spoke about this. And people are coming with the mindset that a man can never do this. You shouldn't be thinking that way, that a man cannot do something. You shouldn't be thinking that way. You shouldn't be saying a man cannot do something. You're not going to be a healthy husband. You should be able. But you, on the other hand, you can't go and say, didn't you hear what they said? Come and be cooking, Joe. It doesn't work like that. You can ask him, please help me. Could you help me pound this pepper? Could you help me? If he says, you want to turn me to a woman, please, I'm busy, and walks away. Likely because the poor fellow, slightly ignorant, has never been made to do these things by his mother. He doesn't know how to do it. He's embarrassed. His pride, and he's definitely not one of mine. I didn't train him. I had no say in his life. Fine, you travel somewhere, you're somewhere, you married there. Awesome. He didn't go through my mouth. He didn't come under me at any time till you married. Nobody spoke to him, or he lied or pretended. Where if he had the influence of a good pastor like me in his life, he would have known that you don't come. What you're saying and doing is like you're presuming that everything your wife will do, that she was doing it before she married you. Are you presuming so? Everybody learns new things and does new things. Your willingness to adapt is a true sign of love. She doesn't know to do something, do. My own wife used to chase me away from the kitchen till I stopped going. I was willing to help in more ways, but she kept chewing me. I will help a little there, but Abby, it's peace you want. So maybe she's not used to seeing man in the kitchen or her dad dealing with it or whatever. But you please. Now, as time has gone on, other people have come into the house. Am I going to go and be struggling with the other females in the house? Shift. I'm the one that, are you okay? So all this discussion about who does what is a function of the circumstance, yes? I'm not going to go and say, leave, I'll pound. You shift. Me, I want to be a loving husband. So I can come and stand here and preach and say, I always help my wife with the yam. You should be ashamed of yourself. Instead of reading your Bible or ministering to people or praying for people, you are pounding yam. Do you understand me? There are no fixed rules. Your circumstances will determine. When you hear me say that you must learn how to cook some kinds of soup and cook basic foods like rice, beans, and other things, I say that because circumstances will come into existence that I do not want you inviting some strange girl into your house when your wife is with her mother. Do you understand me? Yes, that your wife went for Mugwo woman, Ukogo woman. What do the Yorubas call it? Your wife went, she had put to bed and went to stay with her mother in the early days after her wedding, after her childbirth. I don't want you inviting unnecessary females into the house to come and help you because you can't cook or you keep eating outside. And next thing, Delilah zooms in on you. This man always comes here morning, afternoon, and night to eat. So they know when you come. They target and come and sit around or sit opposite and start attacking you. You should be able to eat at home. Should be able to cook. Should be able to do something. Warm soup, make gari. Survive. She could travel for a work-related or educational course and you're at home with the children. She shouldn't be helpless. She should be able to bring down a pot of beans and stop eating and not eat noodles at all because it's bad for your health. Can't be saying noodles. And when mommy comes and say, mommy, we're happy when you're not here. We eat noodles all the time. Because daddy is hopeless. No. So you hear me say, if you're going to marry in this house, you must do it. I don't care how old you are, you must do it. I will eat the food. I will eat it, me. I'll get others to taste it, my wife. You not cooking at home and bring it. You cook it in front. You come and cook it. My wife will be standing and watching you. they will give you the condiments. You cook the soup. If you bring it out and we are spitting, you will not marry. We will shift the wedding date. So I advise you, in case you are new and you plan to be part of this church holding, you better start practicing years ahead. You will not do any crash cooking. All the men that you've been hearing me and you've been smiling and continuing the way you are, when the day comes, you know that me, I have heart. I'm a man. My heart is intact. I have heart too. I'll tell you no. When was your wedding? Oh, in 3 weeks' time. Okay. Church, this wedding is moved. You can go and marry somewhere else if you like. But we are moving that wedding from now. Because do you know why I'm doing it? Enlightened self-interest. I don't want you people disturbing me in the future. This is a pastor that married us. We are having problems. And it's related to food. I don't want. So I secure my future by threatening you. I don't want to sit over your matter. Cook. Man, know how to cook. And say, she was just a friend, a family friend that used to come and help us. So when my wife went to... Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear it. Cook by yourself. So I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to make you hardworking. It can't be all those guys that can't boil water for Gary. You know, I know it's your mother's fault. I know. It's your mother and your father's fault. Because he allowed her allow you. You should have been taken to the market. To go to the market. Are you hearing? You should go to the market. You must go to the market. Man, I know it's so bad that even girls don't go to the market. But all the girls in this church, they go to the market. They were told. They've been compelled. Join those that do. Not to buy clothes only. Food, tomatoes, onions, pepper. And you should stop going to fine markets. Go to ugly ones. You say, no, I don't like. Okay, we are eating. You go to someone's house at night and they are eating toast bread. That's a sin. What's that? Is it like the only 8-year-olds in the house? When I was 8, 9, 10, I was frying yam and plantain for my siblings when my parents would go for endless church meetings. Must learn how to cook. I know how to do these things. I haven't done it for many years. Early in our marriage, I cooked coconut rice once. But I haven't done it for a long time because I was the one going out to work. My wife was around the house a lot. With time, other family members came in. You know, nothing takes me to the kitchen. But if I have to walk in, till today, I eat food and I say, come, you put this before this. No, you should have done this before this. I can say that because I know. It lives in me. It's like a superpower. When that need arises, it will come out. If you throw me into a foreign country and I'm living alone, I will bring about, I'll show my powers. But if they throw some of you, next thing, you're having unnecessary visitations. Totally unnecessary. Do you understand all these things? Don't do it because I said so. Do it because you see the need. Do it because it is important. Do it because you need it. Please do not wait till you grow old. Don't wait till late. I'm not happy about people that like waiting till the last minute. Do it over and over again. Me, I don't like eating this. Me, I don't like eating this. If you're a girl, you should be extra embarrassed. If you're a guy, you haven't heard of girls that put Milo in the soup to make it have color? You think it's a joke? I haven't heard a girl that the husband said we are eating snail. She put the snail like that. Didn't wash it with anything. Do you know how many problems? Do you know what? Do you know people have carried their wives home and dropped them and walked away? People, I don't mean in the ends of the earth. I mean everywhere. People have gone and said that they should return their bride price. Not comedy, real life. Why? Because the girl was spending time in front of a mirror instead of being in the kitchen, learning how to cook. They said one time, Pastor Adeboye, some years ago, said something. People were making noise everywhere. Did you hear it? I hope you didn't join and make stupid noise. What was all that noise about? What do you mean? What about women that are busy? Why do you marry? You're so busy. How do you have time to make out wedding day plans? and marry. You should have been busy. Marry your boss during office hours. Busy, are you going to have children? I've told you, if a job does not allow you to have a home, drop the job. Because on judgment day, I can give you the expo. I've given you the expo many times. On judgment day, God will not ask you about your job. You don't believe, you will know on judgment day. But I advise you, check your Bible. The Bible tells in Titus to what he will ask you. It tells men what he will ask them. It tells children what he will ask them. You have the expo of judgment day. Judgment day is not a mystery. He's going to say, did you love woman? Young women, newly, if you're married, did you love your husband? Bible said you are to teach, older women should teach the younger women to love their husband. Why? Because younger women don't know how to love. That's what I was teaching you this morning. You think you know love. When I marry, all those your dreams, every time I see him, I'll do Songs of Solomon. See? Mm-mm. If you love him, you will do what he said. Mr. Man, the Bible commands you to love your wife by nourishing and cherishing her. You have to find out what that even means. Nourish and cherish. She's not a plant. You don't pour water on her and sprinkle manure. No, there's a method to these things. You have to learn to understand it. Okay? Knowing what it means is the hard part. Practicing it. Being patient with her, not being bitter with her. Exercising long suffering with her. Those are the things. Can't say I love her, but no, I've told her she can never talk to me like, can never. Any day she does it, I'll show her something. It's a lie. You don't know what love means then. You're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to keep quiet. You're going to have to, you know, there are many things you have to do if you love her and vice versa. The truth of the matter is that you have to be taught. You literally have to be told. Some of it will be as you're going through things, then you can ask. If you're like me, I try to study a lot ahead. Not on wedding day, years and years ahead. 15 years before I married, I was reading stuff on marriage. I wasn't reading it because I was afraid. I read because I used to like reading everything. And I read all my mother's marriage books. She had marriage books, so I read them. I shouldn't have, but I did. But when I was conscious, at least 10 plus years. I married when I was 30. For 10 years. Many of you married before that. But for 10 years, I was, at least, or more, I was learning from the Bible, from other places. It takes time. Don't plan to jump up. Okay, 6 months. Then I'll start learning. You're not okay. It takes time to learn things and imbibe it. Upon that, when I married, it seemed as if I knew nothing. Upon that, in spite of all that preparation, you still learn. Experience is a completely different thing from head knowledge. And you have to practicalize it. Okay? Now, you notice I'm not answering some questions at all. Foolish questions, I'm not answering them at all. If you want to be a Gnostic, become a Gnostic. Whoever you are. But I want us to be done in the next few minutes. Those questions, in 5 minutes, I want to be done answering all them.
So, as a young girl who has a ministerial calling, but you think that it's not yet time for you to stand out and preach, but your parents are trying to force you into... trying to force you into the limelight because they too are ministers. What should I do since it is not yet my time to run a ministry? Please, I need help.
So you're going to talk to your shepherd, okay? If you're not part of this house, you can still talk with the leader. You have to give a few more details. You can't answer that kind of question here now. It's too, you know, the parents are trying to... Be careful that you're not called by your parents. I spent quite a good while the other day talking about callings. Even today, what I'm saying about women, God calls you. Then a human being decides you shouldn't be called because you're a woman, because you're this. You're going to answer God with Maria. What Etta? How many children died? How many? I thought someone posted something the other day about specs. It's okay. But a lot of her children died. Like the whole idea, some of it was, okay, because of my children. So God removed the children. With Imo Semple MacPherson of Foursquare, she left her husband. It's good to be knowing these histories. Because there are too many people that, you can't. She left her husband and told him, left a note, said, please, you can come after me. The husband went to where she was, another state, years later, because God was calling her to ministry. She was dying. She was dying. Her first husband had died as they got to China. As she just got there, the husband died. She was pregnant. She came back to America. Someone married her. Imagine the poor girl and all that. She was very weak. She married another man. She shouldn't have, I think, but she married the man. They lived together. She was dying. Some years later, she heard the voice, who will go for us? Who will I send? As she was kept on one side of the hospital where people that are dying were, she said, Lord, send me. She got well. Literally, it's clear that God gave her life because he wanted her to minister. That's the kind of person you go and say, why you shouldn't be doing ministry. Again, I keep getting slightly annoyed. People are annoying. You just show up and say, no boy, no woman, no man. The one that brought her back from the dead brought her back for one reason. Go and preach for us. And she came and she was so fantastic. Very fascinating woman. You know, was so reckless for God. Did many things to help bring people to the truth. Anyways, when she got up from that hospital bed, got better. She moved back. Her mother had dedicated her when she was in the womb. Before she was born, her mother dedicated her. Of course, they couldn't know whether it was a male or female. You understand? And God didn't seem to care. Couldn't God have changed it to a man so he could use it? He just went on and used the woman. As a small girl, she was all, and then she became an atheist, then she became a Christian. And here she was. And she went out and achieved. Her husband went to her years after, was with her in ministry. Then after a while, he left her again. He left her. He said he couldn't keep up. She didn't marry again. She didn't marry anymore. And I think that's the right thing to do. I wonder about her. I'm thinking maybe she shouldn't have even married in the beginning. I think she belonged to God. That's why she had these things. But God knows. I hope you know many Americans don't, amazing Christians, I hope you don't know they, you know they didn't used to do this. Let's ask God. Do you know? You don't know. You presume, that's why when you read American stories, Christian stories, you're like, what about this one? What about this one? If you like, if you want their problems, copy them. The average American preacher doesn't say the things I say. They don't really do, even Nigerian preachers, many that are Americanized, they don't do this asking God's will. Is this my spouse? They just marry. We met and we clicked and I liked her. And that's it. So they have peculiar problems. And what you're thinking is, but with the grace of God in his life, you presume that when you have the grace of God in your life, everything you do, God stamped it. You're deceived. When you don't commit your activities to the Lord, your plans won't be achieved. You must give it to God. You must allow him to have a say. If God doesn't have a say in your decisions, it doesn't matter who you are. You have problems that come with having not involved God. Americans are the worst in relationship. Don't listen to an American for advice much. I mean an American Christian. Because they are preachers does not mean they are biblical in that area. Americans are the ones that say, we fell in love. They are the ones that will be talking about kissing and all sorts of things before marriage. They say it as this is normal. So you read it and take it as normal and say, but if this wonderful servant of God could, who am I? No. That's not how you think. That's how not how you make decisions. You make decisions from scripture. So what does scripture say? You ask. You marry in the Lord. Yes, he doesn't need all the 100 signs, but if you feel God says no, you better pause. Don't just do it because I felt like I met Jim. Jim is this and then that. Yeah, Christians. I don't know the full stories, but how many of you know El Shaddai? El Shaddai, El Kakana Adonai. Age to age. Now, with the female voice, you've heard that version. That's a popular version. She didn't write the song. Michael Card wrote the song. A man, Bible teacher. She wrote the song. Or he wrote the song. And he has his own version. He sang it. It's the same. But she is the one that popularized it in the 80s. And her name is Amy Grant. Amy Grant is married to, you know, Vince Gill or so. He's a country musician or something. But I don't think he's born again. Who is White married to? What's her name? Paula White married to? Who is that man she's married to? I don't think he's born again. Even if he is, I don't know. Amy Grant's husband, I saw him. People were harassing or saying, speaking against the wife, something. He was crossing them with four-letter words. I was watching a video. He was crossing them. That's her husband. Is it that she basically completed and went and married anybody? Maybe. I don't know. I know she had challenges. She used to be married to is it Steve? Not Steve Curtis Chapman. The other Chapman guy. So Gary Chapman, yes. She used to be married to Gary Chapman. And that's a Christian fellow too. I think he's a musician too. And all that. Not the book. I don't think he's the one writing on the book. I hope Nsika is not wrong. Did you see that he's her former husband? Yes. Now, all that. These are Christians. They're divorced. Okay? That's why divorce is so bad. But all these challenges people have. That's why they can divorce so easily, because they marry so easily too. Do you understand? You can just grab anyone and marry. You can just separate easily. What God did not begin, man has put asunder. Because God didn't begin most of their marriages. I know we've ended up talking about marriage today quite a bit, but don't marry without God, though. I am not saying you won't have normal challenges. You will. Remember, I said it's what you've developed. But at least in the middle of your challenges, you'll be remembering is God. God permitted this joining. Eh? Not the one that God is, who sent you. That's the problem. The one where God didn't have a hand and you came together. That's a problem. Okay? I hope you understand this. Captain Kuman, of course, married someone who ended up being married already. So it was even against the law. I don't think they had completed their divorce or anything. So she left. So she stayed unmarried for the rest of her life. You have challenges that bring unhappiness to you if you ignore God. If you ignore God's say or hand in your affairs, you suffer the consequence. Do your best to have God's involvement. Are you done? Have I answered what the last thing you said fully? So please meet a shepherd. Make sure it's God that called you. I went in to talk about marriage, people that God didn't call to marry, you know, marrying. Usually, if you're going to be in ministry, that's why the Bible said a priest could only marry a priest's daughter. Do you know? Yes. You're going to have marry anybody. Why is that? In the Old Testament, because she grew up understanding certain things. She grew up used to certain things. When you see someone that just from, I'm not saying now you're going to start asking, are you, is your father a pastor? No. But sometimes the fact that you grew up a certain way will help you in the ministry you're going to be involved in. Your preparation has a part. My father is not a pastor, so you can't say. Not that he didn't do ministry even in the church where he was, you know, back then. And as always, I grew up saying, but still, you need God's say. It's like you can't marry an unbeliever and you're a believer. How? Bible says you must marry in the Lord. But even in the Lord, you should, that's like an Israelite, marry an Israelite. You should also try and marry someone that may be called to ministry too. Not someone that is so far removed from your reality that it creates incredible conflict. Do you understand? So that's like a picture of marrying from a daughter of a priest or a widow of a priest. He could marry that. Someone that has been exposed to priesthood, that has service in the temple as part of their DNA somewhere. Not physical, spiritual too. Can't go and marry someone who wants to go for parties. Oh, you want to be in church meeting. How is that going to work? So next thing you separate. Next thing you divorce. Next thing she will leave you. If she leaves you, you can marry someone else. If he leaves you, you can actually. But it's better, you won't be happy.
On submitting to husbands in the example of the Lagos meeting, Jesus teaches us to leave father, husband, etc. Isn't the same principle to be applied in leaving parents the same for spouses?
The person is asking, when I said, if I say, come, we're having a meeting, and the husband says no, that shouldn't she walk away just like the principle of? The answer is clear again. Either you're not paying attention or you're a visitor. That place does not say anyone that has left husband. It says anyone that has left wife. It's specific. There's a reason. He said, if you come after me, Matthew 19, anyone that has left, there's a list. You never see husband on that list. Any of the versions. It's your circumstance. There's a difference between male and female. You have advantages, you have disadvantages. The advantage is that you escape a lot of things. Just go and bow. I'll give 100,000 naira in this church. And you don't have it. Your husband hears, well, no, I'm sorry, can't give. Oh God, forgive her. It's over. The man, go and find that 100,000. You pay every dime. So if you don't like it, become a man. Show me Matthew 19. Verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Does it mean females cannot be disciples? This is Luke 14, 26. He didn't give me Matthew 19, version 27, 28, 29. And everyone who has left houses, brothers or sisters, father or mother, children or fields, because of my name, receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. This one doesn't mention wife. Okay, it's a Luke 14 that mentions the wife. And there's actually more in the Bible. But the truth is that you can't see husband there. Why? Because you're not permitted to walk away from your husband. He is your head. Your pastor is not your head after you're married. Some people treat their pastors like their head. It's not. You're wrong. And remember, God will ask you about it on Judgment Day, because you should have known.
So you've been given a scholarship to study outside your country, like for a period of 4 years, and one young man like that wants to marry you, and you know marrying him may stop you from pursuing your career. So is it a must you should marry him? Or is it a must you should finish your academics before getting married so you can be of help meet for your husband?
You must become a Christian. If you're a Christian, you talk to God and God will tell you what to do. There are no fixed rules. Does God want you outside the country? The only thing I will not encourage, because I've seen this thing and I don't like it at all, is that you marry the person and hold them down and then disappear. Or they marry you. I won't even allow it. Marrying to travel. I've seen people marry to travel and they haven't showed up after years. Horrible thing. Terrible, terrible thing. So, ask God, please. This question you're asking, again, let me presume you're not a church member. If you're a church member, you know that's very easy. You simply ask God and he'll tell us what to do. You should ask God. God will lead you. Well, scholarship. What if God does not want you to go for a scholarship? What if he wants you to and doesn't want you to marry the man? If God says, yes, you should marry, but it's not yet time. So the young man can wait. Okay? on the other hand, you don't presume you'll always be available for someone to marry you. People have traveled and are still not married, though. You really have to determine. Sometimes God will tell you, pick one. And you decide. Which one is more important? Scholarship. What if the scholarship was to China? What if God brought out that man to stop you from getting to China? We never know. All we do is we ask God. So please don't ask general questions like this. If this is a real story of your life, if you're not a church member, you can talk to a leader. If you are, repent and talk to your. But if it's a general question for the sake of others, it's okay. It's a good question. I think I've answered it well too. Ask God. Don't look for answers. Please, don't be looking for specific answers. For general questions. Because that scenario you just painted can pan out in multiple ways. Someone like me, I would ask God, is this you? Shouldn't I go? Okay, does he want to, should you marry before I go? Your scholarship, is it to take off in 1 year's time? Should we hurry and marry in 6 months? To be honest, if I look well at that question, you're likely thinking, Kai, I would like to consolidate and hold this man and keep him. You want a ring on your finger, armed with a ring, you will go forth into the world. Keep the man, don't move. No, but 4 years is a long time. 4 years is a long time. So you may need to. You must ask God. You must be a Christian. You know, I've always advised you, please do not spend your life ignoring God. Then when marriage time comes, you get all spiritual. Like most people do. You have problems. You'll not be hearing well. Because you're trying to rush reception. You're trying to rush out to hear God. You didn't have time all these years. Then you want to marry. Like many, many people do. 6 months. You want to get close to God. You can't deceive God. It's you that you find out you were the fool. Because you didn't have time for God. Now you want God to be talking to you like a friend speaks to a friend. Where? I know very well that many people, when it's time to marry, that's when God says, like, I don't touch you. And he will ignore you. If I was you, I'll just calm down. Tell the person, calm down. Let's get to know God. Then grow gradually. By the time you're done, you may find out God said, this person is not for you at all. And you realize it's true. What was I thinking? It's because your eyes were closed. Now that you have come to know God and see clearly, it shows you it's no way. There are people here, some of you, you've been through that already. I can't think of anyone or anything, but I'm sure before you came to know the Lord, after you came to know the Lord, you're like, in fact, let me ask, sorry. Raise your hand. You were thinking I should marry this person, I could marry. You got serious with God. Your eyes open like this. You're like, God forbid. Thank you, Jesus. You have saved me from evil. Thank you. Hands everywhere. Yes, that's the truth. That's the truth. Now, what if you are gone ahead?
Final. Please, sir, Jesus said that if we, his disciples, hate, forsake father, mother, sister, wife, field, etc., that we will be given double in the age to come. I don't understand this in view of no marriage in the age to come.
Again, are you a new person? Those that are worthy to partake in the resurrection, Luke 20, will not marry. They'll be like the angels. They won't give you a wife in that list. Oga, go back and give me that list. This, not this list. The other list where he said they will give you. And it's not double, it's 100. I think you should have gone to a verse behind. Huh? I think you skipped. Mark 10 verse 29. I assure you, Jesus said, there's no one who has left house, brothers or sisters, mother or father, children or fields because of me and the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now at this time? Houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. Was there a wife above? No, because there ought to be. There's one of the renditions that has wife in the list where he said, and then when he talks about the reward, he doesn't put wife in the. So if it's Luke 14, it can't end here now. Where is him giving back? This is where he says, give it up. If it's Luke, are you not the one that says Luke 14? You know, I have a Bible. Let me use it. You know, when you get lazy and you depend on electronics and people, I know sometimes the translation changes it, so that can create a problem. Thank you, Jesus. So you're not given back wife. So any plan you're having to have more wives than the Muslims intend to have, do not work. It won't work. Karibu Rabarada. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray in a moment and we'll be gone. No long prayer, just a little prayer and we'll be gone. Ah, where am I? Ooh. Hmm. Or maybe I got it from a combination of the two passages. If you look at Luke 18, verse 28, he said, and Peter said, look, we have left everything we own to follow you. And verse 29, then Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, there is no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of God's kingdom who will not receive many more times in this age and in the age to come eternal life. Eternal life. And please, that plan will not come to pass. That's all I'll say. You're not going to get many wives. You get many brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, sons. Who will those be? It won't be physical. You're thinking biological. No. You have many spiritual brothers, sisters, even right now. Do you know how in this house right now you have many people that have brothers and sisters here that they never had before? Very close brothers and sisters, and who will be their brothers and sisters for life? There are people here now that have fathers and mothers that will be for life. They will have many others because they've given up theirs for the sake of the kingdom. So they will have many people that love them like a parent would love a child. That care for them, that are concerned, that are looking out for them, that are concerned about their matter, that they can tell their child, go and stay there with granddad, grandma, and it's not their biological granddad, ma, because they came to Jesus. These are the things that the disciples were enjoying. Do you understand this?
Yes, sir.
So Jesus was saying that if you leave things, you will have this, but not just now, but in the age to come, they will also have. I've told you, I believe Abraham adopts people. I believe there are people who paid a price, and it's ordained for them. You'll come across Abraham, and he goes, ah, sweetheart, come here, come, come here. Hey, everyone, this is one of mine now. This is mine. I adopt you. And he won't do it for everyone. Believe there are people specifically as their reward for the things that they underwent now in their laying down their life, giving up. Their father may have hated them and say, I disown you. get out of my house. And Abraham was signaled in heaven, and he puts your name down on his list of children. Father Abraham. So in the age to come, the ages to come, when you see Abraham, say, Father, is not general, sir, Father Abraham. Mm-mm. It is that you're one of his adopted ones. You might not be used to such thinking, but you have to get used to it. Sarah might become your mother. You may still have your parents, but remember, he promised you maybe 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, because you gave up. But there might be the person who refuses to give up. No, I would have done it, but my father won't allow, my mother, all the time. Fine. So you don't deserve it. You're not entitled to such a reward. You'll be rewarded in other things, but not to more fathers or mothers. Whatever it is you give up, God promises you that he'll give you back. Even in this life, you start having people and say, ah, this is my daughter, this is my son, this is my... Whether they say it or not, they act like it. They relate with your son, your daughter, your brother and a sister. You're already reaping. You don't even need to die for this or wait for the next age. But if you can't give up anything, you won't have it. So that's what it means, okay? This is what it means. God will help you. Amen. God will help us all. In the name of Jesus. I know I have no right to asking this question. Is there any new person that had a question but you didn't write it down? You want to ask it still? Let me repeat myself once. You're new, not that today is necessarily your first day, but you're newer. You want to ask a question. You didn't ask it. You didn't write it for whatever reason. And you want to still ask it. Yes. 3, 2, 1. Good. That's off my conscience. Now, I want us to pray. Oh, while I was answering this question, it would have taken off. I want us to pray. Can we stand to our feet? Short prayers, pray from the heart quickly. Short prayers, pray from the heart quickly. First prayer point. Father, restore the women to the place that they are called to be in your plans. Restore them. Pray. Father, we ask for restoration, O God. We ask for women ministry to be restored to what it was meant to be originally. We ask, O God, Father, that which the devil has stolen will be given back to us. Father, I pray you, O God, that you give us back that which you ordained from the foundation of the world. Father, we pray, O God, that your hand will be mighty and you will turn the hearts of many to you. Father, we ask, O God, that you receive those that you have called to some purpose, priesthood, priestly purpose, that you will speak to them and reveal your plans. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, together we lift our hands to you and ask that in this season of restoration, you will restore all that has been lost.
Amen.
That all over the nation and the churches of God, that the lies that have restrained females will be pulled down.
Amen.
That more and more in huge numbers, for the shame, for the loss the church has suffered, the world has suffered, due to the absence of our second arm, of the women standing in their role, that you will restore it in these last days.
Amen.
That a great army of warrior women will arise.
Amen.
That will take the gospel like it's happening in Iran and other parts of the world has happened through your many different servants everywhere that you raised and anointed and empowered and shook the kingdoms of darkness. Father, I ask every such female here, outside here, wherever we run into them on the street. Take them like you took Maria Woodward Etta. Like you took Catherine Kuhlman.
Amen.
Like you took Amy Semple McPherson, oh God.
Amen.
Father, we ask that your hand will reach out to them.
Amen.
And it will turn their hearts to you.
Amen.
You will reveal your plans to them.
Amen.
You will call them as you have called others.
Amen.
As you called Mary.
Amen.
As you enabled Deborah.
Amen.
As you anointed Elizabeth with the child in her womb.
Amen.
Let the mothers of the forerunners, those who will nurture them and raise them, like Manoah, Father God, anoint them with great grace.
Amen.
Anoint them with power, O God.
Amen.
Anoint them with love and truth. Anoint them, O God, with education. Let them understand the deep things of your word. Educate them in line with your word.
Amen.
Deliver us from deception. Deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Deliver us from falsehood.
Amen.
Deliver us from confusion.
Amen.
Every box that we've allowed to be built around us or that we found ourselves in, females, males, everything that stops us from receiving or accepting what you have ordained due to human traditions. Father, let those boxes be torn apart.
Amen.
Let these women run free, O God.
Amen.
In every direction, send them out, O God.
Amen.
Teach them to fight.
Amen.
Teach them to do war against the enemy.
Amen.
Many, O God, of your best men are women. We have seen your hand all over the earth do mighty things with all the restraints. Father, we are asking that you will do more.
Amen.
Do way more than you have done, O God.
Amen.
Let the chains be broken.
Amen.
Let the fountains of the deep run. Let the fountains of the deep run.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.